welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's New Year's Day, and we're gonna it's a new year of free speech. We're gonna be doing this, and 2023 might just be our year. And so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage, and we're starting off the year with Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Not actually New Year's Day, Patrick. It's the 2nd of January. We've missed New Year's Day.
Yeah, well.
You're only one day out. Is your New Year's Eve that good that you've already forgotten what day it is? That's the question I'm asking.
I think maybe in like Wake Island or somewhere, there might be some island in the Pacific where it's still, I don't know, maybe not.
Maybe not. Maybe. But was it a good New Year's and was it a good Christmas? Did you have a good Christmas and a New Year?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I did too. And I've got to say this. It sort of dawned on me the other day, because my daughter's 3 now, that as I got older, the sort of magic of Christmas died. And, you know, that big suspense you used to have of waiting for the big day and, you know, your presents arriving and Santa visiting, all of that that you used to be so, you know, your stomach would be in knots looking forward to it, and you, Christmas Eve, you'd be so excited you couldn't fall asleep because you wanted to fall asleep because you wanted to wake up the next day and unwrap your gifts and all of these wonderful things you did as a kid. They sort of fade after a while. And this year for me, having Sophia and, you know, having my daughter, it was kind of like all the magic of Christmas was back again. And it was really special. And I've got to say, if you're one of the younger guys or younger women listening to this show and you've not had children yet, really do go out there and have kids, because it's so important, not just for the survival of our race, but for the nourishment of your soul. And my Christmas was a good Christmas, and it was a good Christmas because of my daughter, because of the life that I've got thanks to having that family. And yeah, special times. And I think that really, as an older person now, I do appreciate Christmas again. And not because, you know, I'm getting loads of presents or anything like that, but because I've got a little one, and seeing her just filled with joy because of the magic of Christmas brings home that important generational thing that up until now everybody did. Everyone went through this generational process of, you know, being the child, then having children. And now that's kind of, ooh, that's a bit strange. You know, lots of people don't even have children these days. But to me, this just felt really, really natural, and it made Christmas come alive for me again. And I can only recommend to people that they do the same. I can only recommend to people, you know, in the strongest terms, that they, you know, go out there and they experience this. And it's kind of strange because when you are a child, you do things with your family that you really enjoy and you never forget. I'll give you an example. Mrs. Mark had a routine in her family where they used to dress the tree, and they'd also put chocolate baubles on the tree. There was always, they called them tree chocolates, and they'd put these tree chocolates on the tree. And you know, over the course of Christmas, you know, they might have a tree chocolate per day until eventually all the chocolate decorations are eaten, and then eventually the tree gets packed up and it's gone. And this year we did tree chocolates with Sophia. And that's something special. It sounds something small and trivial, but really it's something very special because you're actually passing on that that tradition, that custom that's been in your family for years and years and years. And you're passing it on to the next generation. You're seeing it live on through your children. And I know all these things sound probably a little bit trivial, not that important, but they add up to a big picture. It's the continuation of your line, of your traditions, of the things that your family did for generations. And I'm sure that Mrs. Mark's mum and dad had tree chocolates as well. And that probably goes back generations. And I just think it's a special thing. I think it's a special time of the year. But having children really bring... I've had... Sophia's been around for more than one Christmas. But this is really... I won't say the first Christmas where she's truly enjoyed it. But it's certainly been the Christmas where she's been most aware of what Christmas truly is. So that's my little bit of advice for everyone. You know, I don't want to get all preachy. But I do think that it is important. And it's something that really came home to me this year. Especially sadly, obviously, I lost my mum earlier this year. Especially after losing my mum. I've got to say that... You know, seeing our family lineage carry on, you know, through my daughter was, you know, something pretty important to me. So that's my Christmas message. I had a good Christmas, and I do think, you know, don't give in to the feminism, the materialism, the hedonism. You know, have those children, pass on more than your genetics. Pass on the sort of wonderment of all your lovely family. Traditions. That's what I've got to say.
That's a good message. And as for my Christmases, if you go back in the RBN archives a little bit, or go to my archives, you can get there shortcut through nationalbugle.com. Nationalbugle.com, you look at the top, and what does it say? It doesn't say archives. I don't know what it says. It says something. And you can click on one of those buttons that will say the right word. You'll figure it out and get straight to my archives. And you'll see that for Christmas Day, I had a show. None of the other RBN hosts had the show, but I had the show. And it's a Christmas show. And it's me remembering Christmases. I'm not even talking about politics. I'm just remembering Christmases past. Going back to when I was a little kid with my rocking horse and all of that. So that's good. And then, of course, a week later, if you go to RBN, you'll see that I was the only person who had a New Year's show. Actually, this show is not going up until it's not going up until Tuesday. So the only show on Monday is the show that I sent to RBN last Friday. And it's the second annual Goyim's Choice Awards. The Whiteys. So that might be fun. Did you ever hear the first one? Did you hear the
I
first
did, one? I did. I was going to say, I'm looking forward to hearing who the winners are this year. I do like your satirical shows, Patrick. I do find them very funny. And I think they are one of your strong suits.
Well, thank you. I'd like to do more, but ain't nobody got time for that. It's just, there's just, in order to do this show, I had to spend the whole day working on it, and I had to cancel a previously scheduled outing with my mates and whatnot. So
I got to say this, Patrick, and this is quite an interesting thing to probably say, but when you as a content creator create content, I don't think people realize that actually. These radio shows that we're doing now are probably the easiest thing you do. So for me, the easiest thing I do is my sort of weekly show. And that's 2 hours on the air. And there might be kind of, I'd probably say, maybe an hour of sort of prep either side of that. So, you know, re-uploading, messing about, fixing any little issues is about an hour at the end. And beforehand, there is probably an hour just over getting the graphics ready, getting everything set up, putting out the announcements, dealing with guests. But when you actually record something like the Goyim's Choice Awards, or you do something, you know, along that kind of line, those shows are the ones that absolutely take the time. And it's very hard to explain to people just how long those take. And I always estimate that for, let's say, a 15-minute video that I do, you've probably got around maybe 8 hours, maybe more, of actual time and effort to get that spot on, to get that, you know, 100% as it needs to be for, you know, to go out and be a good show. And that's a lot of time when you think about it. That's an awful lot of time. Because, and I did a show the other week about Sam Bankman-Fried. I think I actually sent it to you. I don't send you all my shows because I know you're a busy guy, but I sent you this show about Bankman-Fried because I felt it was an important show, and it was something that you obviously speak about a lot yourself. You talk a lot about, you know, issues of you know, Jewish power, etc. And I was very interested in the Bankman-Fried issue, not simply because he was Jewish, but because Bankman-Fried, as soon as you know, started to get to court, he started weaponizing the fact he was Jewish. And that's one thing that I found very interesting. So
he got to doing that. I'm sorry, I haven't listened to that video yet. Has he been doing that? He's been weaponizing.
As soon as he got to court, he weaponized the fact that he was Jewish, and he made a big point of saying in the court papers that some of these problems he was facing were actually down to anti-Semitism. You know, that, you know, he's got the gall to actually come out and say that. But when I put that together, that particular video took over 10 hours. Because when you're preparing something that's, you know, very critical of a powerful, rich individual, you do spend quite a bit of time checking it over, making sure it's legally that you can say it. Because if you say something that's potentially defamation, you could be sued, you could lose your house, you could lose, you could end up bankrupt. And that's a really, really difficult thing that you would end up facing. That would be awful. You know, obviously, I don't want to end up, you know, losing my home. I don't want to end up, you know, owing people money for, you know, essentially speaking the truth, but not being able to defend that truth accurately in court. Because sometimes that does happen. Sometimes you can say something that's absolutely true, but you say it in such a way that your enemies, you know, can come down on you like a ton of bricks. And when you take all of that into account, you might have spent somewhere in the region of, you know, as I say, 10, 11 hours to make a 17-minute video, which is a lot of time. So, you know, when Patrick does these things, you know, give him some love, give him some support, because I can assure you, whatever time you think Patrick spent doing it, he's probably spent a lot more than you actually think. It's a very laborious process, is content creation, where it's pre-recorded and pre-scripted. Now, we're just talking freely, and that just fills airtime. That's actually a much easier way to operate, and it probably...
That's why there's so many shows like this, where it's just a couple of people talking.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of popular YouTubers, actually, this is really weird, a lot of popular YouTubers, especially YouTubers who do, who started off doing highly scripted comedic skits, they actually move towards podcasts or other types of humor over a period of time, simply because they couldn't deal with the amount of time it took them to keep pumping out those kind of, you know, very funny but very time consuming to produce comedic skits. And I've got to say, I understand, I'm not saying these people are wonderful people or that I like them in any way, but I do understand, you know, what they're going through in terms of being a content creator, and why people move away from these, as I say, very time consuming, sort of pre-recorded items, move towards, you know, what we're talking about, just a radio show or a podcast. You get somebody on a couch and you can make three, four, I'm not saying he does nothing all day, but, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours of content is something.
He smokes a lot of weed.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, as you probably expect me to say. I'm not a big fan of the old smoking of the weed, but yes, he does do quite a bit of the smoking of the weed. And, yeah, I'm not a fan really of any of that. But, you know, those podcasts are much easier to produce than, you know, you know, take a lot less time to produce 4 hours of content like that than it does 15 minutes of pre-recorded, highly scripted, and, you know, legally vetted material.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is that, like, somebody like Joe Rogan, well, this is his whole job, and he gets paid very well for it. And all he's doing is talking to people, too. Whereas I gave up on trying to make money off of this because it's just too hard. You know, a few years ago, I guess 2018, I had it set up where, and it wasn't easy, but I had it set up where people could donate to me through Stripe. And then I got 3 donations and immediately Stripe shut me down. And there was so much work getting it set up in the first place. And so I just gave up. And decided I'm just not going to try to monetize this at all. And I'll just, do normie work and try to get by. And so that's what I do. So I only have a limited amount of time that I can devote to this. And I can't devote as much time as I used to because, I wasn't paying the bills well enough. So, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah. And you've got to say as well, when it comes to, monetizing things, you tend to find the very top of the content creation tree do really well. So I'm talking about people like Paul Joseph Watson in the UK or Nick Fuentes in the US, people who are sort of top of that tree do very, very well. But by the time you get probably a quarter of the way down from the top, you see a lot of people struggling because it isn't something, it's certainly not what some people make out it is. Some people make out it's a very easy road to walk and that there's tons of money in it and people are making money hand over fist. I don't believe, you know, I've never seen that. I've never seen people sort of making money like that. And I've never seen people really profiting like some people say they do.
If you're going to talk about Jewish power, then it's really hard to make money because you get shut down.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. That's the other thing. Yeah. You know, there's different degrees of what people talk about. So, you know, I've got to be honest. You know, there are people out there who are talking about, you know, issues such as Jewish power. They're not making big bucks because they don't have, you know, the platform. Whereas you can be sort of an Alex Jones or, you know, I don't want to get into sort of bashing anybody, or sort of like a Paul Joseph Watson. And those guys are making huge amounts of money, and of course they are, because fundamentally, you know, those guys are
truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Joseph Watson, and those guys are making huge amounts of money, and of course they are, because fundamentally, you know, those guys understand that they're not treading across that really difficult line, and that really difficult line is the line that you and I have crossed, which makes you, you know, but basically we're aiming our criticism at the most powerful people in society, and we obviously suffer. You suffer more for that than you do if you're just sort of talking about things in nebulous terms. And I think a lot of content creators who want to make money do that. You know, if you just, oh, it's the globalists, or, oh, we've got to tackle mass immigration, you know, and then if anyone questions, well, not all immigration, lots of immigrants are great, you know, but it's just mass immigration. You know, we let in 250,000 last year, you know, I'd like to let in maybe 100,000. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Oh, big reductions. And when you're dealing with those sort of people, I think that you understand that they're in a different world in terms of how accessible they are to the public and how accessible means of donation or funding are to those people. So yeah, it's very different. And as I said, content creation like the show that we were talking about that you're doing is something that is fundamentally very, very time consuming. And obviously if you're doing all of that, you're putting a great deal of time and effort into something that, if it doesn't get many views, it can feel a little bit, how can I say it? A bit dispiriting. Would you agree?
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Is dispiriting the word? You feel slightly dispirited.
Right. Well, anyway, so people can go, listen to that show, And hopefully enjoy it. Now you have an annual show that you put out, and I haven't listened to it this year, but you know, your Christmas adverts. And I don't watch much TV. In fact, I don't watch any TV. In fact, yesterday I wanted to watch some TV and I didn't even know how anymore. Because, no, I'm serious. I didn't know how. And I had to call my kids in order to tell me how.
Kids. How do you watch TV, kids? Your dad's totally lost it.
It used to be you just turn on the TV and it would come on. But, you know, we gave up our cable because we weren't watching TV. So we gave up the cable. And then I decided I wanted to watch a football game just for the heck of it. And I eventually was able to watch it through my computer hooked up to the TV. But the thing is,
Boomer Patrick.
I know. First you got to download the Brave browser. It's like, how do I download something on my? I don't know how to download. What's a Google store? What's a Play store? I don't know how to do this. You know, I can write programs in certain languages. in certain programming languages, but I don't know how to do some of this stuff. Anyway, and I was amazed at the, because I hadn't watched any adverts in such a long time, that they are just, there's no white couples, never a white couple. Oh, no, there's a white couple. I kept seeing this this ad that was being pushed at us, and when, there's a white couple, and it's a white gay couple. So there you go. They marriage for white people. Yeah. Maybe we should stop calling it gay marriage and start calling it white marriage, because I think that's what it's intended to be.
Well, I did do my Christmas videos this year. And that is one of my videos that's always performed generally quite well. People have always found that, you know, quite funny, informative and humorous is what it's meant to be. And I will say this. This year, and this is going to shock some people, this year wasn't actually all bad. Now, strangely enough, this year we've actually seen a big change in the way advertisers have been behaving. Now, I believe that this is largely because of backlash from previous years. Now, people say, what do you mean backlash? Yeah, sure, we all get annoyed, things get downvoted, but these people, you know, they sort of, they carry on because you're still going to shop there. And yeah, that has been true in the past. But I will say this, this year, most of the adverts, and they weren't all great, right? I'm not going to make out they were all absolutely wonderful or works of art or advertising genius. And they weren't all white, okay? They were not all white by a long shot. But, and this is quite difficult to explain without sounding as if I'm going soft, there's a big difference between putting in a little bit of diversity into an advert and to put in what I would say would be overt anti-white messaging. So, okay, you might say, well, how is a race mixed, you know, racially mixed couples and etc. not overt anti-white messaging? And to some degree, it is. Okay, to some degree, it is. But it's a passive form of anti-white messaging. Now, the more overt anti-white messaging.
Heavenly flower, nature, passion, roses.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
To be anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
I dreamed of paradise completed.
Lovely
you are my dream come true.
Anti-white messaging, and to some degree it is. Okay? To some degree it is, but it's a passive form of anti-white messaging. Now, the more overt anti-white messaging that we've seen in the past is when everything is mixed race, and not only is everything mixed race, but the white people in the adverts are the idiots. They're the buffoons, the clowns, the people that get everything wrong, that mess it all up, that basically look the fool. And I think you and I have talked about this before, Patrick, because in the past, there was a very famous Tesco Christmas advert that actually started me reviewing the Christmas adverts. And in that advert, you actually had what I would say would be overt anti-white messaging, not subtle ones, not just diversity, but you had the white family being the dysfunctional idiots. They were the ones who were screaming and shouting at each other. The white woman, she had put the turkey was too big to fit in the oven, and she was bashing it to try and squeeze it in, and potatoes were flying everywhere. The white family's son was so thick he didn't know it was Christmas Day. He was like, "What are we having for dinner, Dad?" Dad's like, it's Christmas. He's like, yeah, and... But then you got to the mixed race families, and they were all cohesive. They were all getting along with each other. They were all dressed well. Even the colour palettes were different. And what I mean by the colour palettes is you have warmer or cooler colour palettes. And when you film a scene, if you use a warmer colour palette and warm lighting, it makes you feel that that's a welcoming scene, it's a happy scene, it's a scene where you would want to be. Whereas if you use a cool colour palette or cold lighting, so like a cool blue, it feels cold, it feels lonely, it feels drab. It doesn't feel like you want to be there. And I think what we saw this year, because all in the past, if you was a white family, it was the cold colour palette. And if it was the mixed race family, it was the warm colour palette. And this year, we saw something quite different from most advertisers. We saw still the diversity. Not going to say that was lacking. I'm not going to say, oh, you know, they've given up on that, because they haven't. But there was none of this, the white people are idiots. There was none of this, the mixed race family are totally happy. Another good example in previous years was that really, really obvious advert where the mixed race family were all really happy, living in a beautiful house, getting on super well, happiest people you've ever seen. And then there was the lonely white guy stood outside the window staring in as if to say, "Where's my Christmas?" And all of that was very, very overt. It wasn't even subtle anymore. But this year, they'd got rid of all of that. This year, they were dialing it back, and yes, you did have mixed race families, but there wasn't that juxtaposition with like the either stupid, idiot, you know, dysfunctional, unhappy, drunkard whites. You know, that wasn't there. And I think they've cut that back largely because fundamentally we are, you know, really, really in a bad way economically. And I don't think that these supermarkets wanted to risk annoying more customers this year and ending up in a situation where those customers would likely not buy things from them. I think that is fundamentally where we're at. I think we're at the point where they actually are feeling some of the bite, but are quite concerned that if they pushed it too far this year, well, people might go elsewhere. And I can tell you this now, we bought our turkey on Christmas Eve. We always buy a turkey on Christmas Eve because they're always heavily discounted. I know you run the risk of potentially not getting a turkey, but the savings are too great to ignore. And this year, when we went to get our turkey, the amount of discounted turkeys on the shelf at the supermarket was just huge. They were almost giving them away because people are genuinely falling on hard times. And I think that's brought the supermarkets to heel somewhat. Now, there was one really bad advert. There was still one really bad advert. Sainsbury's put out possibly the most anti-white advert we've ever seen, set in sort of medieval Europe. There was a character that was sort of, she was meant to be a baroness or something, but she was obviously, you know, to any normal person, she was the queen and she was black and she was lording it over the kingdom of, you know, mainly white servants who all had to please her. And that was very obvious. It was very anti-white. It was heavily downvoted. But besides that, most supermarkets, Morrison's, Tesco's, Asda, they all toned it down. It was all a notable dial back from years gone by. And I think this is because they are starting to feel the economic pinch as well. At one point, it was sort of like if you were a major supermarket chain, that was it, basically. You were never going to have to worry about everything. You know, these guys were the you know, the unshakable foundation of Britain's economy. You know, the supermarket would never, ever suffer the indignity that the little guy would suffer. But I think where we are now, different territory. You know, these supermarkets are struggling. Their profits are massively down. They're starting to actually feel the pinch of an economy which is rapidly declining. And that's brought them to heel to a certain degree. Now, again, just want to stress, I say to a certain degree, there was still the mixed race stuff. And I want to stress that because some people will always take everything I say out of context and say, oh, well, I watched this video and there was still this mixed race couple or there was still this mixed race family. What do you mean, Mark? You know, but what I'm talking about is the overt anti-white messaging that me and Patrick have talked about many times before. And I think this sort of change in that messaging, I think that change, it is marked. I think it's very interesting to see something like that happen, because obviously these advertising companies, they do have power, but it seems as if the supermarkets aren't simply saying what they did before. You know, make an advert, you guys do what you want, people will buy from us anyway, put as much crap in as you can. And the companies have been like, right, let's knock it out of the park and see how anti-white it can be. I think these supermarket chains are saying, or for the most part, saying, can we please calm some of this down? Because we have been annoying our audience and we can't afford to do that anymore. And I know that times are hard for people. I don't want times to be hard for people. I really don't. But at the same point, I do think it's a very interesting sort of product of hard times that you get to a point where your supermarkets, you know, these big anti-white, you know, corporations are now starting to have to moderate what they say and do to hold on to their market share. So, you know, people often talk about, you know, the need for economic, you know, hard times, so to speak, in order to, you know, reawaken something within European people. But it might be more than just a reawakening of European people. You might actually have a situation where some of your big corporations, despite how anti-white they've been in the past, they might be brought to heel to a degree.
So
you know, one thing I've wondered about, and I haven't had the time to really dive into it. I know that the advertising industry, like a lot of other industries, the advertising industry has pretty significant Jewish overrepresentation, but I haven't really done any kind of deep dive into it. But, you know, you look at these ads, and I remember from a few years ago the Gillette Me Too ad when they were doing their whole response to Me Tooism, but it was a very, very anti-white response. It showed these white men hooting and hollering at black women, and then it showed two different times in the ad, it showed white men who were about to walk up and talk to white women, and then black men came up and said, not cool, not cool. And it was the most anti-white ad I can really remember. I'm sure there's probably worse ones, but it really stuck out for me, and I haven't bought a Gillette razor ever since. But
me too. You know, I always used to use Gillette. Never again. I've not even bought any. I haven't even bought a Gillette product. So not just the razors, but zero Gillette products. So that means no razors, no shaving foam, no deodorant, no cooling balm for your face, nothing. Not a single Gillette product now for me.
Right. And, I've actually acquired a domain name. I'm not going to quite roll it out yet, but this is one of my projects I hope to get going for this year. One of my New Year's resolutions. It's a boycotting product, or actually maybe I could call it a goycotting product, project. But at any rate, I just wonder, okay, so even if you have a lot of Jewish overrepresentation in amongst the advertising firms, how could they just go up to Gillette or Tesco or whatever and say, yeah, here's the ad that you paid us a lot of money to produce. Show it to them. How could these executives at the firms who are overseeing the advertisement say, yeah, okay, let's go with that? It's to some of them are just so over the top. I think of the Cheetos ad. Cheetos, right? The corn puffy thing. And they had a Cheetos ad where a black guy is eating Cheetos. He gets the orange dust on his hand, and then the white guy starts sucking his finger. You've seen that one, I take it.
No, I haven't. That's absolutely repulsive. I've never seen that. I mean, that just sounds ridiculous. But you see, that's what I mean by overt. And people are going to be annoyed by me saying there's overt and so I don't know. Are you annoyed by me saying there's overt and more subtle? Because I think the diversity is obviously anti-white, but it's more, it can be done in a subtle way. But what you're talking about there, sort of a guy coming in and licking the Cheeto dust off the hand.
Not licking, inserting the finger into his own mouth and sucking.
Yeah, I mean,
anybody who looks for it can find it on YouTube. It's there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not being funny, but that's a step beyond. You know, that's when you get to a point where the anti-whiteism is just off the chart. You know, your anti-whiteism is just completely off the chart, and you're not at that point. Dealing with anything normal or rational or wholesome or good, or you're dealing with something which is absolutely, you know, like you say, so rabidly anti-white that it's kind of hard to put it. I'm sort of struggling for words there because I've not seen this, but that is so rabidly anti-white. It is kind of difficult to, you know, to put it into words that there would be that would happen. It's just absolutely repulsive. And you think about it, that's the sort of thing that we're talking about. We're talking, as I said, the idea. And I remember one year in the Tesco advert, it was quite funny because you constantly saw black or mixed race families set to that really warm backdrop enjoying Christmas. But then the whites were singles. That year the whites were singles. So there was a single white woman and she was drinking alone. And it was a really, really cool colour palette. And she was on a balcony of what looked like a really depressing tower block. And she's there just drinking alone on that tower block. And then you cut to an old man, and he's a powerful white old man with privilege, and he's in this giant country mansion, and it looks huge. It's like something out of Downton Abbey, but he's completely alone and nobody wants to spend Christmas with him. And then it will cut somewhere else to, you know, the white woman with the black man, and it'll be warmly lit. There'll be kids coming around, and then the white mother of the white girl will come in and hug her, you know, black son-in-law and start giving out gifts. And that is so overt, you know, it's hard to think of anything being more overt than that. And I think that is what we're talking about. And when you start talking about sucking Cheeto dust off somebody's fingers, I mean, that is just repulsive, but it's so overt and so repulsive. You know, people are going to be annoyed, just as the Gillette adverts were the same. And the funny thing with the Gillette advert is, if you think about the Gillette advert, you think about it critically, okay, if you were to make an advert whereby the white man went up to a black man who was about to approach a white woman and said, "Not cool," you would basically be accused of being the modern day KKK, wouldn't you? You'd be like, you are the KKK. You are stopping a black man approaching a white woman. You are de facto evil. You are enforcing a racial stereotype, and that is terrible. But a black man preventing a white man approaching a white woman is noble and good. And that's a very, very loaded position, isn't it? And I do see things like that, and I see them, you know, obviously being very, very blatant in terms of what they, you know, very blatant and very noticeable. And I do find it very interesting that we're in a position now, today, where fundamentally they are dialing this back. And I think they're dialing this back because they have to. They know, I believe, that people are getting annoyed at this. And in times of economic prosperity, they can say to themselves, hey, we can lose a few thousand dollars. We can lose a few million. We can lose, money on this job. But I don't think they can lose money on the job when times are harsh. Now, you know, people are cutting back on things. People at one time would have walked into a shop and said, look, Gillette is my thing. I always buy Gillette. We've got plenty of money. They're the most expensive. I'm buying them. But have Gillette annoyed you? Have Gillette treated you? Yeah, but it's Gillette. I always buy Gillette. And I think people would have said that. But now we're in a totally different ball game where people will walk into the shop and they'll say, I don't usually buy the bargain bin, you know, $2.95 razors. But you know what? I need to save some money. And Gillette have really annoyed me. And that's where brand loyalty comes in, isn't it? Brand loyalty is when you need to make cutbacks, you like that brand. And you don't want to make a cutback. And you're saying, well, I'm not cutting that brand because I've always liked it and they've not annoyed me. But Gillette, you know what? I'm cutting you. You're gone. You're finished. You're dead to me.
We're going to sing together, okay?
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. one of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home. The Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
And you're saying, well, I'm not cutting that brand because I've always liked it and they've not annoyed me. But Gillette, you know what? I'm cutting you. You're gone. You're finished. You're dead to me. And I think that's where they are. And that's a really interesting position, that the economic downturn could well be this sort of catalyst for some of these woke companies to really suffer and suffer more than just this go woke, go broke nonsense. Because we've all heard this, go woke or go broke. And sometimes, you know, some companies are hit hard. But then other times, you know, they just soldier on. It's how many big budget Hollywood woke films have there been where people have announced go woke, go broke. And, you know, next year there's another one of these. But maybe with Gillette, maybe with Tesco, maybe with these supermarkets in the UK, they're actually being forced to listen. Maybe this economic downturn is exactly what needed to come about in order to bring them to heel to a degree. And when I say bring them to heel, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting these companies are now going to be pro-white. I'm not going to be suggesting that these companies are going to be running adverts, you know, that push our message. But they're not going to be as bad. And that is a positive byproduct, if you like, of the financial turmoil that we're facing.
Okay. Hey, listen, we are running up towards the end of the show. I just have questions. Do you have any big plans coming up soon or any little plans that would be interesting for people?
I have no plans. No, I have a few plans. I've got the Golden One is on my show, and we're going to be talking about masculinity. We didn't talk about this today. I don't know if you know about him, but there's a guy called Andrew Tate who created some waves. And some people think Tate is great, and a lot of people hate Tate. And it's quite interesting because I've got a whole take on this. I'm doing a big show about it with the Golden One on Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. UK time, live on my Odyssey. But I'm also doing a pre-recorded video on Tate because I actually think Tate's quite a negative person. I don't like the way he treats women. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his blatant disregard for love and family values and things like that. But I do think that Tate is a product of a society he's a byproduct of feminism, essentially. You know, young men have had all their genuine, decent, wholesome, you know, male role models stripped away. And Tate is the toxic replacement that's in front of them. And I think that's a very interesting position. So, I'm not saying people like Tate haven't always existed, but Tate's popularity and the fact so many men are buying in to Tate is because, in my humble opinion, that they don't have positive role models because feminists have destroyed them all.
So, and what time would people be able to see this?
The live show will be at 2 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. That's 7 p.m. UK time. And the pre-recorded show will be out, as always, on Friday. And maybe me and you can talk about it next week. And I want to thank you for having me on, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year. And I also want to say, I hope you all had a lovely Christmas. And, you know, back in the new year, ready and raring to go. And it's good to be back at it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Thank you so much.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Google Radio.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.